Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 24. Perhaps not your typical Easter passage. Proverbs chapter 24. We don't want to forget on this Easter Sunday that it's all about Jesus Christ, who came and was born of a virgin, sinless baby, lived a sinless life in our place, died a substitutionary death also in our place, and then rose again on the third day also in our place, because we could not defeat death for ourselves. He defeated it for us. Are you glad that Christ arose? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 24 and verse 16 talks about a fresh start. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. That's a fresh start. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Let's talk about a fresh start this morning, a new beginning, if you will. It's something we all need from time to time, is a fresh start. And so this Easter, as we visit the greatest fresh start of all time, the greatest turnaround ever, Jesus' victory over death, let's do so not only looking at what happened that day, but also looking at the other 364 days that there will be before we come back here on another Easter to worship together. Let's look at what Jesus offers to us, because we oftentimes desperately need a fresh start of our own, a new beginning. Now, how many of you are saved? Would you say amen today? Now, if since you've been saved, you've had a time where you got away from the Lord, or you were just down and out, and you needed a fresh start. You didn't need to get re-saved or anything like that, but you know what it means to have a fresh start in the Lord. Would you say amen? That's something that we need sometimes. I read about one lady who, she was the church organist, Miss Kay, and the church was having a sunrise service, 6:30 a.m., and the woman overslept. So at about 6:32, the pastor called her to see if she was on her way. Well, that woke her up. She hastily jumped out of bed, got ready, arrived about 30 minutes late. Well, they went on and made it through. Well, the next year, her phone rang at about 5:30 a.m., and it was the pastor. He said, "Marge, I'm calling to remind you that Christ is risen, and you had better be." Well, a more personal illustration of a fresh start comes from April 1994. Miss Kimberly remembers when Easter that year fell on the same day as daylight savings time. It was our first ever Easter service in full-time ministry together as a married couple. We thought we were arriving at church 45 minutes early to get things ready. But actually, we were arriving at church on Easter 15 minutes late. In we walked in front of a record Easter crowd. And then we had to do our preparations. The reason we thought we were coming 45 minutes early was because we had some more things to get ready, as we do every Sunday. So we had to do our preparations, and for the next few minutes, everyone stared and looked at their watches. And seriously, people who supposedly love us were whistling, "Oh, nice." Well, we needed a fresh start after that. Praise God. Believers get to go to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, but even more, we should praise God that Jesus made that fresh start and got up on the third day. He got up just on time. We read in Matthew 28, verse 54, "The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." I'm thankful for that wonderful truth. You know, it's one thing to be down, and it looked to the world like Jesus was down. even to his own followers, the disciples, like he was down. He was down, but he was not out. It's one thing for us as believers to fall down, and all of us do from time to time. Sadly, there are many who never get up. Some Christians, they remember how it used to be with them and God, and how they used to go to church, and how they used to live their life, but somewhere along the way they fell and didn't get back up. God offers to them a fresh start even today. One of the biggest factors, I believe, that keeps many from serving God like they should is not just peer pressure or lack of desire or laziness, but actually guilt. With some people, it's guilt. I've talked to many people who have done something in their past they're totally ashamed of, and they fell out of church. Or they got out and would just be embarrassed to return, would feel guilty to. No, God offers us a fresh start. Jesus is our example of what a true fresh start is all about. The problem is, when people are thinking that way, is that they're looking backward instead of looking forward. Jesus taught us that we can fail and fail forward. It's okay, as long as you get back up. Did you see that in our text, Proverbs 24, verse 16? A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Get back up. Luke 9:62 says, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We need to fail forward, not be looking backward. That's what Satan wants for us to do, is look backward and feel guilty about our past. Jesus wants to pave a new future, wipe a clean slate. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a fresh start. It's a clean slate. I'm thankful for it today. Philippians 3:13, Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. God forgot them when you got forgiven. So do your best to forget them. Excuse me. And reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize. You may have fallen. You may have fallen. But I have good news for you today. You can get up. All right? You've fallen. Got that point? Look up here. Good news. You can get up. And that's the way to go. There's only one way to look. It's forward, not backward. So, just do this. Tell God you're sorry. Then start over. Once you've received His forgiveness, get back up and serve Him with all your heart. He does give fresh starts. When my kids do wrong, they are punished sometimes. They're punished, and then they get forgiveness. And after that, you know what we do? We strive to move on. We hug. We're forgetting about this. We're going to act like this didn't happen because we know it's not going to happen again, right? We move on. We strive to do better. When I mess up at home, in my marriage, you know, I end up in the doghouse. I tell my wife that I'm sorry. I do all kinds of penance for weeks. And eventually am once again granted probationary status. Seriously, don't let Satan keep you from living the Christian life because he keeps bringing up your past. Just respond to God in the present and let Him change your future. The past has passed. If you're filling in some blanks on the back of your bulletin, I believe this is the first one. The past has passed. It cannot be changed. But praise God, your future is unwritten. Unwritten. Proverbs 24:16 is our text. A just man falleth seven times and rises up again. You are not a failure because you fall. You are a failure, however, if you don't get back up. You're only a failure if you don't get back up. If you get up just one time more than you fall, then you're a success. So, the point of this verse, you fall seven times, but how many times do you get up? Eight. And when you fall an eighth time, what time do you get up? Well, it's going to be your ninth time. Just make sure you get up one time more than you fall. That's called failing forward. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful today that God loves us just the way we are. But listen, He loves us too much to leave us that way. He wants to grow us, change us, mold us, and make us. That's the kind of unconditional love that we have from our Savior, is that He loves us as we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. He wants to dust us off and make us something better. We fall down, but He picks us back up and puts us on our feet on a more sure foundation than we were even before we fell, when we thought we were standing on our own. We fell like Peter did. They're trying to walk on the water. But guess what Peter did? He looked to the Lord, and look what happened. He got back up. He rose again. He was a water walker. And he realized, this isn't of my own strength. The wind and the waves that seem over my head are under His feet. And if I look to Him and trust in Him, He can help me to be a water walker as well. I'm going to fall again. You are. But will we get back up? I worry about some who, if they get out of church, let's just understand in advance, they're probably out for good. Let's keep them in church. Amen? Because so often they don't get back up. That's the kind of unconditional love that we have from our Savior. He loves us too much to leave us the way that we are. Now listen, that's the kind of unconditional love that we should have for our children. That's the kind of unconditional love we should have for our spouses. That's the kind of unconditional love we should have for one another in the church. I don't place conditions on it. I received unconditional love from my Savior, and I'm not now going to punish you with conditional love. I'm not going to be that kind of Christian. I'm not going to do it to you. Jesus didn't do it to me. Sometimes God has to stretch us, and it hurts. But what do you have in the end? Something that's bigger than it was before. Sometimes He puts us on the fire, and it's painful. But what comes forth? A vessel for the finer. As the impurities rise to the top, and He wipes them off. We fall, but then do we get back up? Will we become a learner? Will we humble ourselves and say, I was wrong. This was my fault. And get back up. Or do we make a conscious decision to let the growth stop here? Psalm 103, verse 14. Look at this on the screen. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That's unconditional love. May we show that to one another. May we remember, hey, no wonder I got a problem with this person over here. They're just dust. Let's remember. Let's remember that. Hopefully they'll remember that about you too. Good news today, folks. God still wants you. He still wants you. He's not through with you. He's there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He's sovereign. He can make lemonade out of lemons like us. He can make something out of dust like us. Praise the Lord. You want to talk about an ultimate mess and an incredible turnaround? Just look at Jesus' time on earth. What a mess it was at some points, and what an incredible turnaround it was. Talk about turnarounds. Jesus came to personally solve our sin problem, and yet He was rejected by His own people that He came to, rejected by the masses, betrayed by a friend, deserted by His followers, then tortured and killed. And at that point, folks, humanity's destruction was not only justified, it was sealed. It was one damnable day. Then suddenly, everything changed. Jesus walks out of that tomb, alive and well. You can't keep a God-man down, amen? Instead of judgment, His crucifixion brings us forgiveness. What a turnaround. What a fresh start. Instead of a dead martyr, we have a living Lord who now intervenes on our behalf. Instead of a cause for shame, the cross becomes our greatest source of pride. Do you join me in that thought? It's not a symbol of shame, as it was to everyone on that day. What a source of pride. Did some of you receive a cross today from Miss Darlena Hawkins? She made them by hand, didn't she? Beautiful little crosses. What an emblem of pride. not shame. Well, that damnable day, that damnable Friday, became Good Friday. What a turnaround. What a fresh start. Whether it's for our whole life or just for part of our life, the requirements for a successful turnaround are exactly the same. And I want to share with you right now the requirements for a successful turnaround. Number one, you still writing these things down? Here's number one, a clean slate. A clean slate. To have a good turnaround, to have a good fresh start, you need that clean slate, first of all. And if you write that down, then direct your attention to the screen to a few verses I want to show you, like Colossians 1:21, which says, "You that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works," that's sin, "yet now hath he reconciled." That's a fresh start. It's a clean slate. The next chapter, chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, "You being dead in your sins hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And I like the next slide, verse 14, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us." That's a clean slate. That's erasing it. That's white out with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Blotting it out, that list that was contrary to us, and taking it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What a beautiful picture. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I quoted earlier, that if we're in Christ, we're a new creature, and old things are passed away, and things are become new. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. That's a clean slate. Cleanse us. Cleanse us. Say those words with me. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A clean slate. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." You try to deny it and not take personal responsibility, you're not going to prosper. But whoso confesseth, that's humility, and forsaketh, that's changing, that's repenting, shall have mercy. Write it down, please. A fresh start without a clean slate won't last. See, we're not just trying to turn over a new leaf. We need a whole new tree. We must be born again. We need that clean slate that only Christ can give to us. Not willpower and trying to do it on our own. Not just trying to be a better person, but being a different person, born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. A fresh start without that clean slate will not last. There's two conditions to jot down here. Two conditions of a clean slate. Number one is taking responsibility. Again, we have to admit that we've done wrong, that we are a sinner. We have to take responsibility, and then we must change direction. So confessing and forsaking. Confessing and repenting. Taking responsibility and changing direction. Now look this way, please. Just a warning. A fresh start is not a head start. A fresh start is not a head start. It's starting over. Sometimes there's some pain associated with a fresh start. Sometimes it feels like you're going backwards, and in a way you have gone backwards. It's not a head start. It's starting over. And yet we need the fresh start, and it begins with the clean slate. It begins with backing up and saying, "Hang on, I've messed up." It begins with coming to an old-fashioned altar or doing that in your heart and realizing, "I have been going backwards. I don't have a head start here, but in Christ I can have a fresh start here." So we need a clean slate. Number two, we need a new game plan. A new game plan. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. It's on the screen. "My son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." He says, forget not my law. That's where the new game plan is contained, in the law of God, in the Bible. If you have your Bible, would you raise it up above your head right now? There's another emblem of pride right there. Okay? There's the new game plan. Okay? Team, is everybody on board? New game plan. Proverbs 3, verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding." That's the old game plan. Thine own understanding? The old game plan. Trust in the Lord, the new game plan. Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That's the new game plan. Be not wise in thine own eyes. That was the old game plan. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. A new game plan. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, that's the old game plan, it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. A new game plan. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Two times we're supposed to do that, day and night. That's all He asks, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. That's the new game plan. Good success. Write it down, please. A fresh start without a new game plan always produces the same old results. Always. Make a fresh start. Let's not do it the same way. We're going to do it differently this time. Have a new game plan, or else we're going to end up with the same old results. Your game plan can fail here. Well, let's go to a new church. Same game plan, same results. Another 2 or 3 years. God's ways are often counterintuitive. In other words, they don't fit human logic. It's a new game plan. It's different than human logic. Now, here's the big decision. Am I going to trust God's advice, or am I going to trust my best judgment? My best judgment's the old game plan. God's word, God's advice, new game plan. So we need a clean slate. A fresh start without a clean slate won't work. It won't last. A fresh start without a new game plan won't. It'll end up with the same old results. So we need a clean slate, a new game plan. Number 3, power to keep going. Power to keep going. Philippians 2:13 says, "It is God which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure." Hey, that's power to keep going. God in you. Colossians 1:27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." God working in you. I don't want to do the work myself. I want it to be God working in me. I want it to be God working in you. That's the power to keep going, to do of His good pleasure. And Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 18, says, "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." Power to keep going is number 3. Philippians 1:6 says, "We can be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That's power to keep going. And a fresh start without power, without God's power to keep going, is just a good intention. Now let's just be transparent today and honest. How many of you have ever tried to have a fresh start, and what you wound up with was good intentions, but you didn't have the power to keep going? Will you admit it along with me? This happens. This happens. We need the power to keep going. And that begins with admitting, I can't. I can't have a fresh start. I can't succeed. I can't be prosperous without the power to keep going, without a new game plan and that clean slate. It was during the Battle of Waterloo that a man stood on top of a great cathedral in London. And all eyes are on London this week, aren't they? Whoop-dee-doo. What special superior people to the rest of us commoners. And yet, you'll set your alarm and watch it. Well, not me, buddy. I've got DVR. Well, all eyes are on London. Back in the Battle of Waterloo, a man stood up on top of a great cathedral there in that royal city. He was like a man who stands on an aircraft carrier and holds the signal flags. He had big flags in his hand because communication in those days was not like it is today with all our devices and things like that. They would use signal flags. And the whole city of London was very anxious to know how things were going in the Battle of Waterloo. All were wondering if their Duke of Wellington could defeat the great strategian Napoleon. They were nervous. Napoleon won a whole lot of battles, and now their Duke of Wellington is against him and representing them. So all were wondering if the Duke of Wellington could defeat Napoleon. The man with the flags stood up on top of that cathedral roof, watching for other flagmen leading out to the battlefield, watching for signals from the battlefield, relaying news, how goes the war? When he received a message, he would wave his flags and give the people in London a report on the battle. Well, he received news, and he began waving his flags and signaling in a code that they could understand. When the people of London, who were watching for it, looked up, they could barely see him through that thick fog that they have there. You know, the London fog that was named after the clothing line? Or maybe it's the other way around. When they looked up, they could barely see through the fog, but they saw the message that he was waving. Wellington, their Duke of Wellington. Wellington defeated. Oh, how their hearts sank. They could not believe it. But some continued watching for more news and saw as he repeated the message and as the fog began to break, they saw there was more to the message, not just Wellington defeated. The message was Wellington defeated Napoleon. The entire nation of England then heard about it and rejoiced. Listen, when Jesus died, the message that came across to the disciples' heart was Jesus defeated. But 3 days later, the fog lifted and the air cleared and the message they received, Jesus defeated Satan. Jesus defeated death. When Jesus died, it was a moment of sadness, but 3 days later, when he rose from the dead, what a moment of gladness that we revisit and rejoice not only today, but every day as a born-again Christian. Jesus arose from the dead. Now, you may have fallen, but you can get up. You may feel like you've fallen away from God, and it's led to sadness, but the victory that God has purchased for you still applies. And you don't have to feel defeated. You can get back up. You can have a clean slate. There are no stains on the pages of tomorrow. Turn another page. Have a fresh start. A clean slate. Maybe you failed. Who hasn't? Just don't fail to do business with God. To get saved if you need to. Have a fresh start. To get right with God, if you've already been saved but you've fallen away. If you need to get right, do that. Have a fresh start. Get back into church if you need to do that. If you've gotten out, have a fresh start. And you can always remember, it started on Easter Sunday this year. I like the old gospel song that says, pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. Pick up the broken pieces, trust in His holy word. He will put you back together and make your life complete. Just lay the broken pieces at the Savior's feet. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, a private moment between you and God right now. You're here today and you're not sure if you've ever been born again. It is just as it sounds, a fresh start. Born again. It's what the Bible calls it. It says ye must be born again. It's what it calls being saved. Saved from sin. And we need to be saved from sin. We are sinners in need of the Savior. He took our punishment for us on the cross. Died in our place. And His death that was in our place led to His resurrection, which again is on our behalf, so we can one day defeat death and hell and the grave and can go to heaven. If you're here today and you're not sure if you've ever been born again, I invite you to partake of the fresh start that Jesus Christ offers to you. Would you pray a prayer like this in your heart? Pray it to God and mean it and be born again. Say, dear God, go ahead, just pray it silently to the Lord in your heart. I admit that I'm a sinner. I know that you love me. And you want to give me a fresh start. I thank you that you died in my place for my sins. I believe you conquered death for me by rising from the dead 3 days later. So I ask you to forgive me of my sins right now. To save my soul right now as I humbly ask you. To take me to heaven when I die. I can't make my own way. I trust in you and you alone as my hope and my source of salvation. And now, Lord, help me have a fresh start. I ask you to give me the power, by your power, turn my life around. Help me live it for you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I am proud to tell you today that on the authority of God's Word, which cannot lie, if you just called on the name of the Lord asking Him to save you, the Bible says you were just saved. And you'll know it in your heart. And then you'll show it through a fresh start. If you're here today and you're already saved, say, pray for me, Pastor, I need a fresh start. Would you raise your hand all across the room? We promise to pray for you. Need a fresh start. God, this was God's message for me today. Yes, I see those hands all over the place. Praise the Lord for that, how His Word does His work. Now, if you just prayed that prayer to be saved, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we won't embarrass you or point you out or come back to you, anything like that. But if you just prayed to be saved, and you meant that as a testimony before God, would you just raise your hand right now? I just prayed to be saved. Who's like that? I just prayed to be saved today. In the authority of God's Word, you were just saved if you did that. On this Easter Sunday, we've got reason to rejoice. On this Easter Sunday and every day, we've got to worship. We've got good reason to be in God's house today, and I tell you what, you've got good reason to be there tonight when it's still the Lord's Day, and when we come back together in the middle of the week on a Wednesday or next Sunday, before another Easter or Christmas comes along, we've got good reason to worship, to rejoice, to celebrate as Christians. And this altar is a great place for humble, on-your-knees kind of worship. We'll invite you to come after we pray. Lord, this morning I thank you for any who've just been saved, here in this room or listening to this recording. I pray, Lord, that they would give you their life and make that fresh start for you. Help us all to gain the fresh start that you need us to right now and as a church. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us to have a good worship experience around your feet at this old-fashioned altar. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As we stand, would you step out on this Easter Sunday? Just come bow before the Lord today. If you'd like to come, you're invited to come right now. If you were saved today, I invite you to come meet me here at the front. If you're saved but never baptized and like to discuss that, you come. Let us know. If you need to get back into church or want to join this church, you come meet me here at the front. Or if you just need to come bow and pray, would you come right now? It's a great song that's been chosen for this fresh start message. White as snow. White as snow, it says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a clean slate and a fresh start. We fail. I sure have. Many times, even recently. But a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. No quitting. Rise up again. Let's sing this with her now if you know it. What is that in the hymnal? That's not. Okay. If you know it, let's sing it. White as snow, white as snow, though your sins be as scarlet, Lord, I know, Lord, I know, that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of your love, through the wonder of your blood, through faith in you, I know that I can be white as snow. All of God's people said, thanks for being here again. Tonight is a brief sermon followed by a church family meeting. And part of the church family, you ought to be around for that. Wednesday night, 5:30 meal, 6:30 service. We'll look forward to the opportunities of the week. And again, happy Easter to you. Look at me. The ham's not burning. No chance of that. I appreciate that applause you just gave me. So, we're out of here. Let's ask God's blessing on our departure right now, and we'll look forward to next time. I'll ask one of our ushers in the back, dismiss us in prayer. Brother Jim, would you lift your voice and dismiss us, please, sir?